It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
We are live. We made it to the Hyatt Vineyard Inn, the hotel. I did not know they were doing all this construction. That's amazing.
91 new rooms coming on.
Wow. Online. All right. Anyway, it is the Bottle Barn End of Summer Pinot Fest tasting with there's food, and there's great wines, and this is California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. My co-host Dan Berger is with us, and I believe, Mike, this is the first time we've ever taken California Wine Country on the road. Yeah, pretty cool, huh, Dan?
Excellent. Great venue.
Yeah.
Great wines. A lot of fun.
And it was
it's air conditioned too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we may have to close those doors to the outside area.
I think we didn't do this on Friday.
So Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, of course, who's with us just about every week on California Wine Country. He and Bottle Barn put this together. You had another one not too long ago, didn't you?
Yeah, our maiden voyage was in May with a rosé tasting.
That's right. Yeah,
we kept it to 100 people on that one, and did about 50 rosés. It was a big hit, and so we said, well, people around here really love Pinot. Let's try that next.
Yeah, and this thing sold out very quickly.
Yeah, about 3 days. So
wow. Folks, if you don't have a ticket, I don't know what to tell you, but we're going to have some fun. We're going to be speaking to a lot of great wine folks. Go ahead, Barry, and explain what the thought was behind these, and I'm going to assume you're going to do more tastings.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I've done a few of these in the past down in Los Angeles. We, they're almost a trade-style tasting where you walk around and taste three or four wines at each table. We try and get principals there, winemakers or owners or marketing reps from each winery. And I was trying to keep it to around 40 wines, but Pinot's so popular in this county, it exploded to 60. There are a lot of people wanted to be in on the game. So,
yeah, this place is packed.
So, yeah, we have plenty of wine, plenty of people to drink it. And then this fall, I think we're going to do a sparkling tasting, probably late October, early November.
Same place here?
Same place. It'll probably be a little more money, just because sparkling wine in general.
Yeah.
We're going to have some good names there.
Yeah.
So, Dan, should be fun.
Dan, thoughts on all this?
Well, Pinot Noir is really popular. It didn't really start with the movie Sideways. It started well before that. But the inn people got in on the ground floor. When the movie hit, it sort of popularized it. But really what's taken place in the last, I would say, 10 years is that Sonoma County has led the world in great Pinot Noir. I mean, Napa still produces some good Pinot Noirs, but, you know, the limitation there is that it's really Cabernet country. And Sonoma County has really, you got, what, five separate appellations here that you can really count on to make absolutely great world-class Pinot Noir, and then three or four more that make excellent Pinot Noir. So this is homegrown. It's all fabulous stuff.
Definitely in the wheelhouse.
What do you guys think is so popular about Pinot? It is my favorite red.
I think the number one reason is that the tannins are low.
Right.
You don't have to fight through the harshness of tannin like you do with Cabernet or Merlot or Cabernet Franc.
Yes.
And Zinfandel. The second reason that you can get it into people's hands is you can make it in six or five or so different styles, and the styles are all valid. You can make it light, you can make it medium, you can make it heavy, you can make it lots of oak or no oak. There's all these styles, Beaujolais style, dark, heavy style. They're all very interesting wines, so you can make them in so many different styles that there's one for everyone. And then the third thing, and I think as much as important as the other two are, this is really the secret. Great Pinot Noir goes with fish. It goes with salmon. It goes with trout. It goes with poultry. It goes with chicken. It goes with great Pinot Noir. Goes with a whole lot of stuff.
A lot of flexibility.
Yeah.
Is Pinot one of the only wines that you would pair with just about everything?
I would say that there are some wonderful Italian reds that really work with a wider variety of foods than a typical Cabernet Sauvignon. But Cabernet Sauvignon is tough, and when you put it with the right food, it's fabulous. You try to put that with a piece of seafood, forget it. Doesn't work.
Pinot doesn't get cloying either. You can, even without food, It's not heavy. It's not loaded with oak generally.
Yeah, it's a late, you said late summer festival you're doing here. If you were sitting on a patio and it's 95 degrees, you just chill down a bottle of Pinot Noir and you're having a good time anyway. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can chill it. And it's, yeah. And
no
it's
problem.
Great. Yeah. Again, this is the first annual end of summer. Excuse me.
Hi, Mike.
I'm alive. I'm fine. Really, I'm fine. The ambulance is outside in case I need it. The first annual Bottle Barn end of summer Pinot Fest tasting and some amazing wineries and such. Can you, off the top of your head, talk about some of the wineries
that
are here?
Quite a few, as you might expect, pretty loaded on local products. Guys like Gary Farrell, Offalette, Finovia, Motion, Alexander Valley Vineyards not too far away, McMurray, Jay. Quite a lineup of local guys, but we've got some Oregon Pinots here too, and Santa Barbara.
Really?
Mendocino. So, but, you know, I'd say 60-70% are within a pretty good close radius of where we are now.
What's really nice about how Barry structured this was that you Barry, you selected about 50% of the wines here are from really obscure producers. Now, 50% you know.
Right.
The other 50% are really, really obscure producers. I mean, how many of these people have ever heard of Faya or Floodgate? And you're telling your Floodgate bargain over there has got to be the best bargain of the room.
Oh, it's one of the best sellers in the store.
Yeah,
it's people go to a lot of tastings, and certainly most of the big production wineries show up for those festivals and tastings around town. So it's nice to get some boutique-y guys that don't get to all of them. So it's a good way to set us apart and make the tasting unique.
You mentioned, Barry, Oregon. Dan, they do decent Pinot in Oregon?
They do fabulous Pinot Noir in Oregon. The style is a little bit different for most of Sonoma County because the style tends to have a little bit more of the astringency, a little bit more of the tannin.
Masculine so, end of
right.
Pinot Noir, yeah.
But what happens with those wines is that they go into a depression sooner than California wines, and they come out a little sooner. So if you buy them early and you put them away in a cellar, put them away in a cellar for an extra year.
Here it goes. You got to work that
years.
In.
Dan,
two
lay
years.
It down, burger.
Got to work it in.
But 2 years, that's all you need. Those wines really,
no, they blossom.
They display.
Okay, so you mentioned Oregon. I'm looking at our spiffy new sign that says it's got the California Wine Country logo from our website, VicarioProductions.com. It says California Wine Country, Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. And there's a, what do you call that? It's the state of California.
Oh. The state of California is a corkscrew.
There's a corkscrew coming out of the whole state of California.
I like
it. And it mentions Mendocino, and then in bold letters, Sonoma and Napa, and then unbold letters, Santa Cruz, Monterey, Central Coast, Santa Barbara. Now, we've already talked about Napa and Pinot. What about these other areas?
Well, Monterey County is coming out of its hibernation period. There was a period in the 70s and 80s where Monterey had a bad reputation. The wines were very good, but nobody understood them. Now, after about 15 years of real serious development, Monterey is making a big stand. The Central Coast is a huge, huge operation for Pinot Noir. There's some great vineyards down
really?
There. Really? Oldest vineyards.
Well, that's the movie Sideways, right?
That was the movie Sideways.
Right.
And the sheer quantity of vineyards is staggering.
Oh, yeah.
I just drove my daughter down to college there last week, and it was mile after mile, I'm sure owned by big wineries like Behringer, et cetera.
Probably Mondavi. So, but some of the earlier vineyards would be Sierra Madre and Bien Nacido.
Yeah.
And these are big, big land holdings, all planted to Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, and they're doing a fabulous job down there.
What's the difference between Santa Cruz and Monterey? They're so close.
Santa Cruz is a very strange area to grow in because there's
That's
so many
That's a very strange
pockets.
Area in general.
That's a story for another time.
Well, it's very variegated. It's hard to know where to plant and what you're going to get out of each.
Yeah.
You know,
more hillside, too.
East facing versus west facing. It's very tricky. So a lot of these producers in that area, they've been in business for 20 years, and they're finally getting a handle on it. It's taken a few years before they understand their own fruit.
Santa Barbara?
Santa Barbara is really a hotbed. That movie did turn a lot of people's heads around when it came to focusing identity on Santa Barbara County. And some of those vineyards are fairly new. There's an area down there called in Santa Barbara County called Santa Rita Hills. Mm-hmm. Santa Rita Hills will someday be on a par with the very best Pinot Noir regions in America.
No kidding.
But right now, it's a little young, and they every now and then a wine comes out that blows you away, but the consistency is not quite there yet.
Would you say that, then, in summation, Your Honor, Sonoma, out of all the areas I just mentioned, at this point, Sonoma County makes the best Pinot in the state?
I think it makes the most,
for the most part,
quality stuff.
Yeah.
I think there's some places in Monterey County, such as Santa Lucia Highlands, that make sensational wine, but limited
not
quantities.
As much. Yeah, exactly. How are we looking, Mike? 3 minutes? Oh, okay. It is the first ever, and there'll be more, Bottled Barn End of Summer Pinot Fests. This is a great event, sold out in 3 days. Place is packed here at the Hyatt in downtown Santa Rosa. We're going to be talking to a lot of different wineries and people and stuff like that. The food's good, too.
No, they do a great job.
Who's doing the food?
It's the Hyatt staff.
Oh, okay,
the kitchen.
Cool.
Cured meats, prosciutto, salami.
Some great cheeses.
Brie cheese, goat cheese. It's pretty impressive.
So you're thinking the next one will be sparkling wine?
Sparkling wine. We'll probably have to charge slightly more. Probably not going to get away with $30 on that one, but some of the big names.
It's only $30 for this?
Yeah. It's a bargain.
Wow.
That's why it sold out in 3 days.
Mike said, how much does this cost? And I said, I don't know because we don't pay. But he thought maybe 60, and I said, I think it's more than that. So
well,
$30.
In San Francisco, you wouldn't be able to get away with 30 because you'd put the tickets on sale, and 6 minutes later, it'd be sold out. So.
Well, again, they sold out in 3 days. Now, any thoughts on when the sparkling will be?
Shooting for the last week of October or first week of November. We got to kind of see how the harvest fair goes. That always kind of throws us sideways for a little while.
It's a great time of year to be talking sparkling and tasting sparkling.
Oh, yeah.
We'll
have a mix of local and French champagnes and even some of the new spots from around the world.
All right. Dan, you've got some guests lined up, don't you?
A couple of people that one of which didn't show, so we're going to have to fake it. So we'll make believe I'm him.
We've never done that before.
Hey, I think what I like about this is that the room is a gorgeous room, but there's an outside patio with tables. And people have actually enjoyed a glass of wine, gone outside and sat down.
Taking notes.
As the temperature starts to lower a little bit. This is really a great idea because I've been to many of these tastings where there are no seats.
Yeah.
Here you've got people to sit down.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than waiting in line for a glass of wine.
I'll drink to that. We are live from the Hyatt in Santa Rosa. It is the first, and I'm hoping annual, first annual Bottle Barn End of Summer Pinot Fest. It sold out in just a few days, and the place is packed, and it's pretty amazing the amount of incredible Pinot producers who are here pouring. There's some great food, courtesy of the Hyatt. And I'm going to let Barry Herbst, who put this together with Bottle Barn. He is, of course, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn and with us most Wednesdays on California Wine Country. Introduce our next guest.
So our next guest, I guess I met, 15 years ago? Have we been in the business that long?
It was 2005.
Yeah. It is you got to pronounce your last name. Suzanne Hagens. And at the time, she was making her own label, Lutea, from Sonoma County Fruit. I was working in Sonoma for the Rare Wine Company then. And now she's since folded that label into another label that she's making called The Gardener. And then she also has Horse and Plow with your husband, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Suzanne, Horse and Plow. Okay, so I'm looking at this website, horseandplow.com. It says Horse and Plow, and then The Gardener. So is The Gardener the wine label?
Yeah, so we're basically sister brands. We make a lot of different wines. We make ciders as well.
Wow.
But we always do our Pinot Noir and Chardonnay under The Gardener label.
Really? All right. I am not aware. Dan, Were you aware?
Well, yeah, because we've had their ciders before, and the ciders are really exciting. We tasted some of the wines at our wine competition in May. We really enjoyed the wines a lot, but I did not know about the Gardner Pinot Noir. So this is really a very interesting.
The production is very, very small. The Sonoma County I'm pouring today, we only made 200 cases of, and then we'll do some higher end vineyard designates that are just a few barrels, some of our favorite lots. So very small production, limited distribution. It's all sold locally. We have a tasting room out in Sebastopol, but we've worked with the Bottle Barn for a long time, and I mean it's the retail place to be, so
you can
find it there too.
As we say, that's where Wine Country buys their wine.
It's true.
You also make a Chard, at least one, and a Riesling.
Yeah, we make a lot of different varieties. We work with a lot of different white varieties, Chardonnay, Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc, Sauvignon Blanc, the Riesling, as you mentioned, and a lot of different reds. In addition to the Pinot Noir we do under the Gardner label, we make Grenache, Cabernet Franc, Carignan, Petite Syrah, so a lot of different varieties. We do work exclusively in the North Coast Appalachian, though, so it's Sonoma, Napa, Mendocino County, all very local and all from organic grapes.
Is there a tasting room?
There is. We just opened a tasting room about a year ago in Sebastopol. We are right on Highway 116, Gravenstein Highway, just north of town. And, you can find our Horse and Plow wines and ciders and the Gardner wines there.
Dan, we got to get them in on a studio wine Wednesday.
Absolutely. We'll bring in some of the ciders as well. Because we actually went to two different cider events over the last year and ran into the folks who make the ciders and got very excited about the Horse and Plow cider.
Thank you very much.
Zach's area. So
no, they are. They're in the store, for sure. Yeah, and we work with all local apples, three orchards there in Sebastopol, and we make a nice dry cider.
That's the one I like.
Yeah.
Oh, me too. I can't stand the
they're
sweet ciders.
They're not sweet. We bottle condition everything, which is how they do the nice craft beers and how they make champagnes. So it makes a really nice nice dry cider at the end of that.
All right, Suzanne, great to meet you. We will have you and your husband in on a California Wine Country in the studio soon.
Sounds great.
And one final point, your 2014 The Gardner Pinot Noir is only $19.99 at Bottle Barn.
She's punching me. You're getting me in trouble, Dan.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Never happen again, so
it'll
you better get down
again.
There.
Get it before
exactly.
Are you tasting this right now?
I am,
All right, well, give me your stuff.
I brought you a bottle.
Oh, here it is.
Thank you.
I never come empty-handed.
That's one of the great things about this program and this segment.
That
nobody does.
We won't let you go thirsty.
It's fruit-driven. It has wonderful sort of a raspberry or strawberry-like aromatic.
Yes, it
does. What's very appealing is the fact that the oak is really restrained, so that the wine has a nice aromatic, fruit-driven persona, but the aftertaste shows how well this wine will age. In about two more years, this will just blossom. It's gorgeous wine.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love the label, too.
Thank you. My sister-in-law did the art. She's a fine artist and did that botanical sketch of the grapevine on the front.
That's beautiful. I also like on the rear of the bottle, the vintage is 2014. You got the varietal, the Appalachian harvest date, and the bricks at harvest, and the pH, and the alcohol, and I think
all
that's
the geeky stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
well, I've come to love the geeky stuff. I didn't used to, but
come
after
to see the light.
9 years of this segment, I'm really digging it.
Well, the way we figure it, I like to give people the facts. You know, I don't want to tell anybody what it tastes like because taste is such a personal thing.
Yeah.
So we just give them, you know, the technical data, and you know, hope that they'll enjoy it.
What about the names, Horse and Plow and the Gardener? Those are two names that you don't generally hear much.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, all of the grapes for all of our wines are certified organically grown, so natural farming practices are really important to us. For Horse and Plow, when we were trying to think of a name for our new brand, my husband and I, we were just trying to think of something evocative of how things used to be, you know, how farming used to be done, how wines used to be made. So not currently using a Horse and Plow out there, but definitely, like, hoping hoping to get there eventually. And then for the gardener, you know, they're very small quantities. They're very handcrafted. And so it's, you know, it just speaks to how small and sort of specialized those wines are.
Well, I like it. I love this Pinot. Go to horseandplow.com. Suzanne, we will see you and your husband in the studio soon.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure to meet you.
You as well.
All right. Barry, we got to get these folks on. You want to do that next?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we taking a break? Are we taking a break? Now? Or are you going to give me Hansen?
Your choice. It's optional.
He can't even hear me. He doesn't have headphones on. We're live at the Bottle Barn End of Summer Pinot Fest at the Hyatt in Santa Rosa. This is a cool event, and earlier this year they did a rosé event here, which was sold out. This one sold out in like 3 days. And coming up in October, they're going to do
sparkling wine and champagne.
Sparkling wine and champagne. And since I'm not a huge fan of that, I don't know that we'll be broadcasting live. But when Barry gets back, I'm going to shame him into doing, at least in January, a Chardonnay festival. Because I am Steve Chardonnay Jackson. joining us right now is Maria Lentini. And she is with BrackMountainWine.com. Welcome. It's good to see you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, you guys are right next to us. And is that your husband?
No, my boyfriend.
Boyfriend.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully he'll be proposing any day now.
Let's
maybe
do
tonight.
It on the air. Dude. Dude, you need to propose to her on the air. That would be cool, wouldn't it?
I guess I have some stipulations.
Apparently. Well, don't expect it tonight, apparently. Okay, tell us all about Brack Mountain.
Well, my goodness, where should I begin? So Brack Mountain Wine Company is a family-owned winery. We started in 2008. We're in Sebastopol, California. I don't need to say California here in Sonoma County.
No, that's fine. I do that all the time.
Well, you
let's
know,
go live to Cotati, California.
Practicing for when you expand.
Well, you know, our AM signal goes to San Francisco, the East Bay, Lake County, Napa County. And
oh,
so,
perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I'm not totally off base with the California thing.
No.
So Dan Fitzgerald is our winemaker. Dan has kind of a fun story. I don't know how much you want me to get into this, but Dan, he'd probably kill me if I was telling this story on the air. But when Dan was away at college, he went to Arizona State. He was going to be an architect, and then his third year in, he called his dad, and he was like, I can't do this. I don't know how to draw. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. His dad's like, oh, my
Step
God.
Step number one. Know what you can do.
Dad an architect?
No, he just... And his dad was like, okay, come home, work a harvest, and get your bearings. His dad lived in Healdsburg.
Wow.
And he said, okay. So Dan came home, and he did his very first harvest at Kivera Winery. He absolutely fell in love, and he did not want to go back to school working towards something that he didn't want to be doing. So he ended up doing back-to-back harvests for the next four vintages, doing Kivera and then Cold Stream Hills, which is a winery in Yarra Valley, making like small production Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And then when he came back from that, he worked under Robert Sinsky. And then he worked with Bob Cabral for William Sellier.
We know him.
Yeah, which was a really great,
great
experience for him. And then he ended up working for the Pellegrinis and becoming assistant winemaker there.
Wow.
And then him and his dad and their friend wanted to start their own company, and they wanted to bring really, you know, amazingly priced Pinot Noirs especially into Sonoma County, basically. It was right around, it was 2008. A lot was going on, and there were not a lot of Pinots priced, you know, in the, like, sub $30 category, and they really wanted to kind of fill that void.
Well, you guys apparently did, because you're set up right next to me here, and your soon-to-be husband, when my glass was empty, and I just kind of reached over there, and he poured me some. This is killer Pinot. Dan Berger is blown away, and especially, he mentioned it to me about the prices.
Oh, ridiculous. I mean, there's a lot of wonderful Pinot Noir in this room. There's some $60 and $50 wines. No problem with that, because they're really, they deliver. This wine delivers.
Yeah.
And it's $20. Excuse me for living. I mean, what's that about?
I know. I appreciate you noticing. You know, it's really hard to get out there with brands that people don't know of. You know, it's definitely, there's a lot of competition out there, and we really wanted to shine in a certain price point, and we wanted to over-deliver. That was sort of...
Well, you have done that.
Thank you so much. That was the idea.
And when Dan Berger explains to me why I like this, the Pinot, so much, and then says what he said.
I think it's elegant, and I think that elegance is a real lost art in this business. Pinot Noir is of if there's a great touchstone for Pinot Noir, it's elegance. We need more of them. We need more people to understand that this is a wine that doesn't have to have the power of Zinfandel or Petit Sirah. If it did, it would not be Pinot. Mm-hmm. And this wine is really, it delivers everything. So the name of the wine is Born. Mm-hmm. It's from Anderson Valley. It's sensational. 2014 vintage. Very wonderful wine.
We sell the hell out of this wine. And as good as that sells, the other wine she has sells twice as fast.
And the bench is, it's called 2015 Bench Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir.
Now the secret, what does bench mean?
I'll tell you.
She's got the story.
All the grapes come from the benchlands. That was sort of how it came to be.
When you say benchlands, then.
So,
elevated off the valley.
Not from the valley floor. Better drainage, having the vines struggle just a little bit more.
We have talked about that before. Yeah. I just don't remember. I don't remember yesterday, so how am I going to remember 2 years ago? But continue, please.
Yeah, no, that's basically it. This was the very first brand that we came up with, and it really has just been kind of the workhorse for us. I was a wine buyer a very long time ago, and I remember buying this wine for our wine list. So it was really kind of sensational when about, 8 years later, I got to work for the company. So
you're in Russian River Valley near Sebastopol.
So we're in Sebastopol. So if you're familiar with Sebastopol, we're in the old apple processing plant. But if you're not, we're on the...
Is that 116?
It's 116 in Occidental Road. It's exactly right.
Okay.
So that's where we are. There's a lot going on over there. It's a really fun place to be.
It's a very, very pretty property. Not really. It's an industrial property. Let's be real.
Well, you know what? Good thing that we source, beautiful grapes from beautiful properties.
Yes,
so
sure.
It doesn't really matter where we make them.
Okay? What about a tasting room? Is that there?
So we don't have a tasting room.
Okay.
I do encourage people to call the winery. We do set things up privately. And we would love to have people, come into the winery and do that sort of thing if need be. I set that kind of stuff up for consumers and buyers all the time. So.
And it's Brack, B-R-A-C-K, Mountain.
Yeah. So.
Wine.com.
Yeah. BrackMountainWine.com. Yeah. So there's a Brack Road in Healdsburg in West Dry Creek. And that's where.
Gotcha. Yeah.
They live. And, we'd like to think it was a mountain. It's more of a hill, but we just thought Brack Mountain was better than Brack Hill. So.
More dramatic, I like it.
Thank you.
All right, and again, we're meeting Dan. So many of these folks who we may not have been aware of
know the names, didn't know anything about them. The secret, of course, is when you go through a tasting like what Bottle Barn has organized here, gives you the opportunity to actually try these. If you're paying attention and writing your tasting notes, what you'll notice is that there's a connection between what's on the label and what you're tasting. This wine says 13.5. The other one says 13.5. The alcohols are moderate. So therefore, when you get the wine in the mouth, you know that you're not going to get a powerhouse. And instead of getting a powerhouse, you get this gorgeous silkiness. And that's really why this wine works.
Yeah, Dan has a very European palate. you know, he spent some time abroad. He lived in Belgium as a kid. Not that he was, you know, guzzling wine as a kid, but he really does. That's what he associates winemaking with. It's high acid. It's French oak, you know, only. And he's very, very gentle.
All right, we're going to have Maria and her soon-to-be husband and hopefully the winemaker on in the studio with us on California Wine Country soon. My name is J-A-X-O-N, last name, but my real name is Vicario. So, ciao, Bella. A pleasure to meet you.
It was such a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us.
All right, cool. We will see you in the studio
soon.
Good. I'm getting the break sign, right? All right, let's take a break. We are live from the Hyatt in downtown Santa Rosa. And Barry, I said I don't think you were here I said recently you're doing sparkling in October.
Yes.
If you don't do Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc, or at least Chardonnay in, January, I'm going to be very pissed.
We'll make it the next one for sure. We'll make it maybe early spring, late winter.
Works for me.
Yeah.
All right. Introduce our next guest from, is it Mueller or Muller?
It's Mueller.
Mueller.
Yes.
Steve Jackson.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, man. We've been going through this with Robert Mueller, right. The guy who's investigating Trump and the Russians.
That's me, too.
Yeah.
There you go. He's Bob Mueller.
But this looks like Mueller. Welcome, and tell us all about Mueller Winery.
Well, we started quite a ways back. We started in the early 90s in Healdsburg. Built a winery over by the new post office, and we're there for quite a number of years, 10 years or so. Then we moved to a facility in Windsor, and we're still located in Windsor at this point. And we've been we used to do quite a bit of custom crushing when we were in Healdsburg. And now we're just focusing on our own label. So we're very small. Sales are limited to primarily our tasting room in Healdsburg.
So you're not going to be at Bottle Barn.
We've got one wine there.
We're at Bottle Barn.
My favorite wine, though, we both have daughters named Emily. And he makes an Emily's Cuvée. That's how I first discovered the winery many years ago. And that's one he doesn't sell to us because he can sell it all to his wanting customers. So go to the winery for that one. I highly recommend it.
We always reserve wine for Bottle Barn and a few other local restaurants and wine shops. So we've been in Bottle Barn for many years.
I like this on the website. It's MuellerWine.com. MUELLER.
Correct.
I love this. Every good movie, great novel, grand romance has something in common. Balance, an engaging beginning, fine layered nuances in the middle, and a satisfying finish. That's
absolutely
brilliant. Dan Berger, your thoughts? I mean, were you familiar?
I think I wrote that.
You may have.
That's my philosophy.
They may have stole it from you.
Yeah.
Are you familiar, or are we learning
everything? I've tasted the wines over the years. They're really wonderfully balanced, and I think that's the secret to what I think both of us are talking the same language. I don't use numbers when I rank wine. I think that's a boring thing. The most important thing is to have structure and balance so that you can evaluate the wine early and then put it with the right foods and enjoy it for what its main purpose is, to go with food.
Exactly.
And if you can do that, and that's what I think you've been trying to do, we never met, but before this, I tasted through the wines. You had this beautiful rosé over there with plenty of acid. It's got great structure. Tell us about the rosé. It's fabulous.
We make, like all of our wines, we make very small amounts. The rosé is 100% Pinot Noir. It's entirely from the Russian River Valley. It's fermented cold. I try to preserve as much fruit as I can. I try to use only my highest acid lot, so it's a balanced wine. The other thing I do is I ferment it totally dry so that it actually goes with food. Any rosé that has a sweetness in it, while delicious on its own, might be harder to match with a food.
Right.
So our whole goal is to make a food-friendly rosé, and I think it does go well with a wide variety of dishes.
I was starting to think about how well that would go with so many different foods, because it's got such a broad range of opportunities. A good, beautiful strawberry aroma, and then a nice, crisp mid-palate and finish. Mm-hmm. Really good structure.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, Pinot Rosés, I've had a lot, are just a little too over the top, too dark, or too much extraction. I think you hit it right on the nose in terms of that balance of that.
Pretty nice
wine.
Yeah,
you're right. I think it's that balance is the key.
Yeah.
Not extreme in any way.
Beautiful wine.
I would like to know a little bit about where your Pinot Noir is growing. What's the vineyard?
We have a number of vineyards, a number of blocks within vineyards. One of our recent additions has been Hogan's Run Vineyard, which is directly west of the San Jose Airport.
Mm.
It's a beautiful vineyard, good south exposure. They grow vineyards owned by Fred and Susie Sedlicek. They're kind of high-tech Silicon Valley escapees.
So they decided, we've got a few of those up here.
Yeah. So they decided they wanted to move up here to the wine country, and so they're having a great time raising grapes. They grow several different clones. They grow 667, 777, I think a Pommard. Primarily what I buy is their 667, which is a really nice dark fruit charactered clone of Pinot Noir. And we actually do a separate bottling, a vineyard bottling of theirs. It's called the Hogan's Run Vineyard.
Does any of that go in the blend that you're pouring today here?
Some of it does go into that.
So this is a multi, like three or four vineyards blend you've got.
Exactly. And then we have a number of other vineyards that are right along the river. Mm-hmm. So we've got, what I do is I try to get areas that are good for specific clones. So right along the Russian River, I have several vineyards and vineyard blocks, and they're each clone specific to a certain site. I find that the sites actually have more impact on a character of the wine than the clone. So it's,
it overrides the genetic makeup.
Exactly. Yeah. So I have a wide variety. I've been buying grapes from some of my growers for 20 years.
Wow.
Same growers.
And the prices have probably gone up a little bit over.
Prices have gone up, but I get, in many cases, I get the same vines every year. So all the benefits of having somebody else watch the vineyard, but it's under my supervision.
You know what you're going to get.
And I know exactly what I'm going to get. Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. Yeah. You make Chardonnay as well, right?
We do. We make a small amount of Chardonnay. And it's from
you'll have to be back for our big Chardonnay fest that Barry's going to put out.
Yeah, I thought that might get your attention.
When's that?
Well, I know. Steve's apparently planning it for me in the late winter.
I'm Steve Chardonnay Jackson. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Just is that your variety?
Part of his makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we make a little bit of Chardonnay. It's a little vineyard block right on the river. Wenty clone, which is an extremely good clone to use for that soil type. We only make a couple hundred cases, and that's it. I think you have it in your shop.
Yep, we did bring in some.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so there is some Mueller Winery wines at Bottle Barn, but it says here our wines are available in select fine wine shops and restaurants or directly from the tasting room. You are in the heart of Healdsburg, right across from the Raven.
Exactly.
That's a nice spot.
Yeah.
Yes. We're open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for tasting. And we usually pour a selection of five or six wines each day.
Anything to add, Daniel?
I just think that this is one of those classic examples of where Sonoma County produces wonderful Pinot Noir from producers who are smaller, less well-known in the broad market, but this is a good example of that. We have wonderful opportunity to try wines like that because of Barry's creativeness in putting this thing together. And thank goodness that you joined us because it was fun to try your wines.
Yeah, well, thanks for inviting me.
All right, great. It was wonderful to meet you, man.
Nice meeting you.
All right, again, it's Mueller, M-U-E-L-L. M-U-E-L-L-E-R. I need new glasses. MuellerWine.com. We got to check traffic. When we come back, Dr. Dave McCune is here. He's a big wine guy and our senior drive political correspondent for 9 years. We will talk to him. It is the Bottle Barn End of Summer Pinot Fest. They're going to do sparkling wine and champagne in October, November, or whatever. I think you should do it very closer to November because of the holidays.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever.
No, that's about when we're recovering from the Harvest Fair, so it should be good timing.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we'll have some big names in there from France, Veuve Clicquot. Maybe we'll throw some Dom Perignon in. Why not?
Why not? Just and the one after that will be the Steve Jackson End of Year Chardonnay Festival.
Yes, your memorial Chardonnay every year.
Don't use that word. He's not dead yet.
No. You might be able to use it tomorrow. I don't want to make any. Anyway, very cool. So joining us right now, a man who, we just love him so much. He travels with us to Washington, where Mike DeWald chaperones he and I. He's been the Drive senior political analyst from Sonoma State University for 9 years. And a guy who actually paid money, we appreciate it, because he's rich, paid money for this event when he knows he could have gotten in for free on the Drive dovetails, or what do you call it, coattails?
Coattails.
Yeah. But Dr. Dave McCune is back
Thank
with
you
us.
Thank you very much, Steve.
With his lovely girlfriend, Amanda. Hi, Amanda. All right, so... you're a big wine guy. You've got a really nice cellar. Maybe not a Dan Berger type cellar, but you got.
I haven't had dinner with Dan yet, so we have to find out.
Yeah, you should.
We have to find out.
Invite him over and let's see if
Take him over to Hot Monk for a Pliny.
Yeah, that's right. You live right across from Hot Monk Sonoma.
There you go. Right.
You
here.
Still got time to catch up to Dan. We got plenty of wine.
We got plenty
in
of
our
wine.
Place
that's
for
right.
You to fill it up.
So my cellar only goes back to the early 80s. So
right.
Dan's clearly goes back farther than that.
Yes, exactly. Dan, lay it down, Berger.
Yeah, lay it down, Berger.
He lays everything down. So, I don't know. I'm not used to really talking to you about wine on the radio. It's usually politics, but give me some thoughts about this whole thing.
Okay, so what you see is a lot of great Pinots at different price points, a lot of different varietals in terms of what's happening. Anderson Valley, for example, the bench was pretty interesting in terms of what they were doing.
And inexpensive.
A fantastic price point. The Bourne that they were doing with a combination of Farrington and Beaujolais vineyards, very interesting.
I'm glad you didn't say cheap. That was good.
Yeah,
I've learned that over all these years.
Yeah. You keep going to retail.
But then grab something like Robert James, which is made by a Czech winemaker. And I lived in the Czech Republic.
Right.
Amanda and I have traveled to the Czech Republic. So it's kind of nice to see that. And to
what's your thoughts on the Czech wines, Pinots?
First of all, they grow an enormous amount of grapes in the Czech Republic. I don't recall the line.
I had no idea.
Something like 80,000 acres or something like that. I can't recall. But what's really interesting is that they're now converting some of that stuff over into really popular varieties. They used to have the local varieties.
Right.
Now they're moving in the direction of Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. It's getting to be exciting. Right. If you ever try that stuff, you'd be blown away.
Yeah, it's great. And there's a lot of great red varietals, but it's really prone to those nice white varietals that are going on there, and a lot of hops as well.
Really? All right.
Prices are right.
I think I got the 4 minute from Mike. Okay. For an hour and a half, we have not talked about Trump. And since we
it's
have
been
Dr.
a relief, Steve.
It has. But since we have Dr. Dave McCune, and it's been a few weeks since we discussed this on the radio. I want to get your info on the Arpaio pardon, because from what we understand, allegedly, Trump went to Jeff Sessions and said, can you make this Arpaio trial go away? He said, Sessions said, no, you idiot.
Can't make a federal court trial go.
Yeah, exactly. And so then Trump said, oh, all right, I kind of get it. I'll just, if he gets convicted, I'll pardon him.
Right. but he hadn't been sentenced yet.
Yeah.
And the White House had not set up what they call a pardon lawyer. Typically, for to handle pardons and this type of thing, you set up a pardon lawyer within the White House. None of those things happened. And he also pardoned him through a tweet. So let's not forget that part as well.
Yeah.
Which there is no precedent for this. And apparently it isn't a problem. So this is just an important reminder for us when we go to Washington, D.C., that anything happens to us, we can get a pardon through a tweet. All right? Maybe Mike can do this, the president can do this, but it can all happen through a tweet.
Because when we were there last year, I think you and I both needed a pardon.
At least through a tweet.
Yeah.
That's why business is so good at Bottle Barn right now.
Exactly.
It's never been better.
No, I know.
Politics is up, anxiety is up, and consumption of liquor and wine, beer sales, way up.
Right. Exactly.
Welcome to Sonoma County.
Unbelievable. Are you leaving town on another tour of the Dr. Dave-ism?
Well, we might be teaching a short course in the Czech Republic on the presidency of Trump in early October.
No,
if that happens, we'll do a live show. We'll do a call-in with Mike,
which he always
from
does,
Prague or Brno or from Vienna, if we're in Vienna, Austria, one of those fun
Very
places.
Cool.
Yes, absolutely.
Great to see you, my friend.
Wonderful to see you. It's wonderful being on such a distinguished panel.
Yes.
Longtime friend of Bottle Barn, Dan Berger, I met many years ago.
Yeah.
We weaved wine and politics together there. That's nice.
That was cool.
We need a little baseball. We'd be all set.
Yeah. Giants suck.
There you go.
What can I say? We got 1 minute. Dr. Dave McCune, longtime Drive Hall of Famer for 9 years, our senior political analyst. We'll talk again soon, my brother.
Love you, my brother.
Love
you,
too.
Thank you very much.
Barry Herbst, wine buyer at Bottle Barn, who put this whole thing together. He's going to do it again this fall, and then he's going to do the Steve Jackson Chardonnay Festival here.
First annual, not Memorial.
Yikes.
Yes, thank you.
Way to go, Barry.
Yeah, thanks,
that was a good save.
That's the King Steve Jackson tasting.
Dan Berger, we'll see you guys both next week on California
Looking
Wine
forward
Country.
To it.
Yeah, right on.
I'll be here.
All right. Thanks to the Hyatt and Bottle Barn and everybody involved. This is a cool event, and we'll keep you posted on the next ones they're doing in the future. All right. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The Drive.